Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal. And you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRoffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
She's grown up as the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, celebrating 8 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia.
That's right. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia, on over 8 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com. She started at 12 years old, and she discusses all the latest haunt topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves. And today is no exception. I want to thank Rob Sirk, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators. Thank you guys so much for patching us through at live events at creepy locations where we had no internet feed. Thank you guys for all of your support over the years. Feel free to call in today, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. I'll post all of the links for our guest day in the chat room. Feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to log in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. Today, we welcome Travel Channel's upcoming series, Haunting in the Heartland, host investigator, strange music recording artist, and Haunted Saginaw director, Steve Prozac Shippey. Everyone, visit TheRealProzac.com. That's TheRealProzac.com, HauntedSaginaw.com, also TravelChannel.com, Twitter and Instagram, at TheRealProzac, YouTube search, Stephen Prozac Shippey, and Travel Channel, of course, at Travel Channel, and hashtag Haunting in the Heartland. Upcoming, we have Sasquatch Files research team founder and author John Kuykendall. He returns to the program next weekend, the 15th. Also, Annie's Ghost Hunters key investigator Brandon Albus returns to the program on the 22nd. And so you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. To find out more, go to liveparanormal.com, the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli fan page, to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, to like the Ghost Host liveparanormal.com fan page too as well. There's a lot of great new Paranormal Investigative Team Roundup panels on the weekends on Live Paranormal on their group page. Memberships, they start as low as $2.99 a month here at Live Paranormal. And Rob Sarek's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of autograph books by some of your favorite paranormal authors and equipment. They start with the memberships here on Live Paranormal. And as always, support the vendors here. Tonight on Live Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well monthly, Mondays, right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State, Psychic Kids, and now Kindred Spirits. He's on Mondays here on Live Paranormal, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, free MP4 iTunes downloads are available immediately following this show, so you can fast forward for any things you may have missed or links in the archive show too as well. I'm trying to unmute and bring Sophia in right now. Let's see. Sophia, there we go. It looks like, well, hey, there we go. We got you. Sophia, fantastic show. Congratulations on 8 years of broadcasting.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 8 years.
I know. You're doing a fantastic job. You have all these Twitters now, YouTube pages and things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli on the L and Instagram at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, and you have a fantastic guest today. Congratulations, M, too, on an upcoming series. Tell us about our guest, Sophia.
Today, we welcome Travel Channel's upcoming series, Haunting in the Heartland, host, investigator, recording artist, and Haunted Saginaw director, Steve Prozac Shippey. Don't miss Haunting in the Heartland Travel Channel premiere on Friday, February 21st, 10 p.m. Central. Everyone visit TheRealProzac.com, HauntedSaginaw.com, TravelChannel.com, Twitter, Instagram, @TheRealProzac, YouTube, Stephen Prozac Shippey, and hashtag Haunting in the Heartland. Let's welcome him into the show.
Yeah, and too, thank you, Travel Channel, for making today possible. Steve, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on today, and congratulations on the upcoming premiere.
Absolutely. Yeah. Congratulations on 8 years.
Thank you so much. So to start off, I know you have this amazing show coming up, but what initially led you into the field of the paranormal? Was it an experience you had as a child? I mean, what was it like for you starting?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, what really got it all started is I grew up in a home that had a lot of activity, grew up there, lived there for many years, and, you know, unfortunately dealt with a lot of things, scratches, a lot of attacks on some of the family members. And so naturally, you know, that kind of embarked me on, I guess, the course that I'm on today, trying to figure out, you know, what were we dealing with? How could this be? You know, when you're a kid, you're trying to explain these stories to people, and you're hearing, well, that can't be, those things aren't real. There's got to be another explanation, but you know what you saw, you know what you experienced. And it basically all started from that moment.
Well, that's amazing, you know, that you had those experiences at such a young age. I can definitely relate. I grew up in a haunted house, and I didn't have it quite to the extent you did with the scratches and everything, but I can relate to, you know, people not initially believing you and, you know, just trying to kind of figure out what's going on. You know what's going on, but also at the same time, you know, it doesn't necessarily always feel real. Like, how can my house be haunted, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things I think that was so, you know, intriguing to me is that, I mean, you know, looking back at it for a few years there, you know, my parents would say, well, you know, it's not bad. It was a dream, or maybe this or maybe that. But it wasn't until they finally admitted that they knew what was going on when I caught them talking about it one day when they thought I couldn't hear them. And that was the ultimate solidification to me that, you know, this really was happening, and became to such a point that we ended up having to move out of the house. And, you know, that just sent me on a quest to find out, you know, what are these things? Why does it happen? And basically the quest to basically capture the evidence on film. And basically now it's more about helping people than it is just capturing evidence. But that was my quest for a long time.
Yeah. And I know, especially as a child, it's hard when someone doesn't believe you, you know, or in your parents' case, you know, trying to not make you feel fearful. My mom never told me I was wrong. She didn't really know what to say, but she didn't, you know, necessarily, she did not believe me, but she also didn't like think, oh my God, our house is haunted, because she hadn't experienced anything yet. And my dad had just written a book for a psychic, and we had been in the paranormal for about a year at the time. So my dad did say, no, I think that you're just kind of imagining this because of everything that we've been going through in our life. And it's really difficult, you know, when you're going through something that you know is very real, but the people closest to you may not necessarily feel that way.
100%. And even more so, the fact that there really are no answers out there, especially when you're at that age, nobody can tell you what's happening or what it would take to get it to stop or how to deal with it. It definitely changes you. I mean, and as you know, from what you're telling me now, once you've seen that other side, you can't unsee it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm still affected to this day because of it. And it's something that you really can't, it's not really a normal experience that you go through. And a lot of people can relate to it when, you know, you dig further and see people with other stories. But in the whole scope of the world, most people can't relate to this. So it's really hard to, you know, go through. But it's nice when there's shows like yours that are out to help people and, you know, kind of get stories out there about home haunting. So when there's a family out there or a little kid that's experiencing this, they know they're not alone. There are other people out there experiencing it, and there are people out there to help.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's one of the best thing about the advancements of the paranormal field is, I mean, look at where we are today. I mean, you can, you know, like your show and podcasts, blogs, television, documentaries, it's not so taboo as it once was, to where people can actually talk about it and support each other and theories and find out what's happening. Whereas before, you know, it was still happening just as frequently, but people were afraid to talk about it, and fear doesn't help.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, going from living in a haunted house and having those experiences, how did you go from that point in your life to actually having a show where you help people? How did you initially, you know, how did the show come about?
Well, which show are you referring to, my Haunted Saginaw series or the Travel Channel?
The Haunted Saginaw series to start with, kind of go in order.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, from that point of moving on past that house, you know, it never left me. So, of course, you know, as I grew older, I would always talk to my friends about it and you know, tell everybody I could along the way, especially when they would share a story with me about growing up in a haunted house or they know of a haunted location. So I basically started to investigate the paranormal around the age of 14 or 15, kind of started a little bit, you know, lightweight with going out to cemeteries, leaving tape recorders out there, coming back when I knew, you know, the tape had ran out, listening for electronic voice phenomena, things like that. But then as I got a little bit older, I decided to actually really start investigating private residences, properties. And after quite a while of doing it, I thought, well, you know, developing a musical fan base and whatnot, I thought maybe I could be documenting this, not just as a case, but documenting it on film and seeing if anybody would be interested in seeing what, you know, my team and I do. And so we set out to create a documentary of one of our investigations, which was called The Haunting on Hamilton Street. And we thought, okay, well, when it was accomplished, we thought maybe we'll premiere it, you know, for friends and family. The only theater that had availability for the time frame we wanted to release it around Halloween was a 2,000 capacity theater, the old historic Temple Theater of Saginaw. And I'm not really sure what gave us the confidence, but we rented it out two nights, which would be a total of 4,000 seats, and we actually sold it out seat per seat both nights. And there was a big demand for a second one, and we did, and a third and a fourth, all the way up to our 10th film, which we just premiered a couple months ago, and now we're on to the 11th. So, and you know, throughout that process, at the very beginning, it was the extreme urgency to solidify the family's claims, if at all possible, document activity. But over the years, my focus has changed now more to helping the people, not just capturing footage and simply walking away, if you will. So now that's really become the focus, is helping these people, because, you know, as you know, Sophia, a lot of these people are really fearful in their own home. And I don't know that there's anything worse than that, when you're afraid to be in the one place you're supposed to be safest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. I know I was probably about 9 to 11 years old. I had grown up in the house, and I hadn't noticed any activity till around that age point. And it was really hard being at home, because I never felt safe. I couldn't go to the kitchen and felt safe. I couldn't sit in my living room and feel safe. I couldn't go to my dad's office and feel safe. I was constantly being watched. And I knew that the ghost in my house wasn't a good ghost. And, you know, as a young child, specifically a girl, having a male spirit just constantly watch you, it's really hard to deal with. And it is, you know, there's so little that you can do for yourself, you know, when living in a haunted house. And I know my parents felt very helpless, and so did I.
Yeah, did you ever find yourself just trying to find any excuse to not be home, like trying to bury yourself into maybe a sport or going to a friend's house or just anywhere but home? I mean, that's kind of what I experienced.
Well, at that point in my life, I was actually, you know, I was right about to transfer schools. I was really alone at that point in my education. So home was really the only place I had, and I was still scared to be there. So I really just found myself never wanting to be alone. I always had to be with my parent or something, because I was so uncomfortable. And at one point, you know, it was so bad, the ghost actually watched me sleep one night. And once my parents found that out, they just felt like that's way too close for comfort. I stopped sleeping in my room. They had me sleep on a couch in their bedroom, just to know that I was closer to them and that nothing could happen to me.
Right.
Can
I see that. What's that?
Oh, there was a psychic that visited that verified that same entity in that same location in the home that, you know, had no prior knowledge of that.
Wow. Yeah, that, I mean, we see that time and time again, even with the new Travel Channel series, Haunting in the Heartland. One of the episodes that we did, it was a couple that were dealing with a very malicious entity that was scratching and attacking the woman of the house. It was really sad to see that they were sleeping on the couch every day because she was mortified to sleep in her bedroom, you know, and it's, you know, a lot of people just don't realize, you know, when they think of haunting or skeptics out there or people that make light of it, they think, oh, okay, well, you know, you hear some rattling or a couple of footsteps. No, I mean, it can really be traumatizing. I think, you know, is all of us in the field are quite aware.
Yeah. And the thing about that too, is when you live with it every day, there's a bit of paranoia that builds up, and, you know, trying to figure out, is it just in my head? Is this just me being paranoid and, you know, feeling like something's there, even though I know something's there, but am I adding to it, or is this actually real? You know, with my mom, she's a very tough person. If she feels something, she really won't tell you. And I was being watched constantly. And when I started sleeping in their room, because I had been watched being slept one night, my mom kept feeling like someone was standing over her when she was trying to sleep. And she never told anyone. She did not tell anyone. She just thought it was in her head because I was feeling that way. And when we had the psychic come over, he goes, the ghost stands here, here, and here. And one of those places was right next to where she sleeps, in their bed. And so she knew that, you know, that actually was happening. It wasn't just her feeling that way. And the ghost is focused on women, too. So my dad never experienced any of this, not even a little bit. So it was really hard to, you know, when he didn't experience any of it, but everyone around him who was a female was feeling creeped out, uncomfortable, or actually feeling like they were being watched.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you say that, because I'm dealing with a case right now that is very similar to that. The whole family has been affected, but the husband sees and hears virtually nothing, which is so interesting that everybody around him is so affected and he's semi-oblivious to it. He believes his family, but, you know, he knows they're experiencing something, but it just doesn't seem to ever happen to him, which is very odd.
Yeah, the only thing that really triggered my dad to be like, oh, something's there, is my dog could see it. So when I would say, hey, there's a ghost standing here, my dog would actually bark extremely violently in that same place. And he goes, okay, well, the dog clearly sees it too. And interestingly enough, I always forget this happens, but I wasn't at home at the time, and this was a few years before we even realized the house was haunted. But on New Year's Eve one time, my mom actually had a piece of metal thrown at her back from 6 feet away.
Wow. So it got that dangerous. It got to that point.
Yeah, and that's before we even knew that it was haunted. That was a few years before we started noticing things. But, you know, it was things like that. My mom thought it was her dad, you know, just trying to say, like, hey, I'm here. But then later on you look back and go, oh, wow, that's not okay. This is what was actually happening. And, you know, it's hard. And I'm sure you know how that is, too, with your experiences. Just, you know, trying to cope with it and, you know, live in your home, because where else do you have to go but home?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's really the basis for, you know, the work I'm doing now today is really just focusing on, I mean, of course, I'm out to capture evidence and out to try to find out what's happening and get audio and video, but it's definitely about helping the family and trying to figure out the overall picture. And that's, you know, one thing that's been so unique with the cases that we took on for Haunting in the Heartland with the Travel Channel series is not just finding, you know, we're not just looking at a home or a business or a building that has activity. These are entire communities and towns that actually have a greater picture that we, you know, go in and really put boots on the ground. We talk to all the local police sometimes, the historians, try to get the genealogy on the area to find out what is actually affecting entire communities to be haunted. It's actually quite fascinating. It is a little scary and unnerving sometimes, but that's, I think, probably the greatest pleasure I take in doing this is trying to give people answers, if at all possible.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, when, you know, doing research like that, research and just going over evidence can take so much time. How long do you think from the start of an episode to the end does it take to actually film all that and, you know, just kind of do everything necessary that needs to be done to help someone?
Well, you know, it's a lot of time. I mean, you know, with Haunting in the Heartland, there's weeks of, you know, phone calls and emails being exchanged to get as much of the information as possible before we even arrive in the community. And then when we're there, there's, you know, nearly 100 hours going into all the different interviews and going from place to place, talking to people out and about in the community, dealing with the family that's being affected, of course, number one, extensive interviews there, and just tons of hours of actually investigating. Then, of course, you have all the post-investigation work to go, you know, going through all the full spectrum and digital recorder and just everything you have to try to catch everything. Because, you know, as you know, that's a very tedious process.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, a lot of people don't realize how much time actually goes into investigating, because it's not just sitting there and you capture stuff. The things they see on shows, you know, the evidence is playing in front of them, but for a lot of investigators, it's going through it afterwards. And so, yeah, it's very time consuming.
Yeah, it really is. But, you know, when you have that passion, you know, for what you do and you really want to help the family, it, you know, that it makes it go by faster, I guess, if you will, especially when you can see the pieces coming together. You know, what is causing the haunting? Is there some type of tragedy that happened in the home, on the land, in the community? And you know what, another thing that I think was really fascinating with Haunting in the Heartland is, you know, when you start to canvas a town and you find out that what's happening in the home that you're focusing on, similar hallmarks to that haunting is happening next door, down the street, across town, all in the same community. And I think that that's what was really fascinating to me. And I'm glad, you know, to have been able to learn so much from this particular series.
Yeah, I can imagine, you know, how much history and, you know, how much you've learned from people's experiences, because most people's experiences, you know, kind of the same thing, whether it's being watched or, you know, scratched or hearing voices. But in the end, you know, every single case is different. So it's a learning experience.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, one of the biggest keys is being able to, you know, build that rapport with the people that, you know, that you're filming in their house, you're investigating their home and the community. And really that's kind of why I chose the Heartland region, because I, you know, I'm from the Midwest. I speak their language, and I'm also somebody that dealt with a haunting personally. So, that's the, you know, this is the region where I feel the most comfortable, have done a lot of my research, and it's, you know, it's easier to build a rapport with these people when they understand that, you know, birds of a feather, if you will. So.
Definitely. And I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
Absolutely.
It's a Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporoli on liveparanormal.com. Sorry, she ninja mic'd me. I had to pop myself in there and there was a little delay. Your call-ins are welcome. 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. Feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room too as well. If you have any questions for our guest, make sure that they're all capped so we can distinguish your call from the chat that we have going on currently. As today, we are welcoming Travel Channel's upcoming series, Haunting in the Heartland, host investigator, strange music recording artist, and haunted Saginaw director, Steve Prozac Shippey. Everyone visit therealprozac.com, hauntedsaginaw.com. For all the DVD titles, hauntedsaginaw.com, of course, travelchannel.com, Twitter and Instagram at The Real Prozac, YouTube search Stephen Prozac Shippey, at Travel Channel, and of course, hashtag Haunting in the Heartland for the entire series. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll be right back. Woo!
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know? It's almost like we didn't leave break.
That's right. I want to congratulate Dave Schrader and Shane Pittman, too, as well as Cindy Kaza. They just announced that they got season 2 of the Holzer Files on Travel Channel. So congratulations, you two. And as well, too, congratulations to our guest today, Steve Prozac Shippey, everyone, therealprozac.com, hauntedsaginaw.com, and as well at therealprozac on Twitter and Instagram. And for YouTube, search Stephen Prozac Shippey and hashtag Haunting in the Heartland. As I'm unmuting everyone right now, a little bit of a delay Got one. Got you both in there. Steve and Sophia, you're back on.
Yeah, Steve, congratulations again on the upcoming premiere, and thank you again so much for coming on today.
Absolutely.
So I know earlier you were talking about A Haunting on Hamilton Street. Can you tell us a little bit about your collaboration with Father Calder on that?
Yeah, Andrew Calder, he was a phenomenal guy. I could go on infinitely about all the amazing things I learned from that guy. We started working together. We reached out to him and let him know that we were concerned that there was a possible inhuman or demonic spirit at this old saloon in Old Town Saginaw, Michigan, the Shook Hotel on Hamilton Street. And after sending him some evidence and some footage that we had and speaking to him at length, he decided to fly out and help us with the process. And, you know, from there, we worked with him on our second film, A Haunting on Hamilton Street 2, at another location. And, you know, we always thought we would be working with him as long as possible. But, you know, sadly, he passed away shortly after we did our second documentary. Mm-hmm. But he was an incredible guy, very knowledgeable.
For sure. It's great that you were able to work with him and, you know, for him to lend his help to the people in need with the documentary. So, yeah, that's amazing that you had that experience.
Yeah, you know, it truly was. It was an honor working with Father Calder, that's for sure.
And, you know, with in reference to A Haunting in the Heartland, did you initially create the idea for it from your documentaries, like A Haunting on Hamilton Street, or were you approached initially to join the show?
Well,
like with Ample
initially, basically I was approached by Ample Entertainment. They were quite fond of all the documentaries that I've done, all the investigations. They'd seen all 10 films, I believe, on Amazon Prime is where they discovered it. And they thought I had a very unique and thorough documentary style approach to what I was doing, because, you know, of course, as a filmmaker and a paranormal investigator, and they wanted to help me take what I was doing to the next level on a broader scale, spanning multiple states, and bringing, you know, my skill set as a filmmaker into the series as well. And I felt very comfortable with their vision, and you know, it just basically started from there. And there, I guess the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, that they had seen them all and, you know, loved your work, because now you're able to take it in more of a broad spectrum. So, yeah, I mean, that's amazing. And I definitely can't wait to see the upcoming season.
Yeah, we're super, you know, excited about it. It's, you know, I feel that once, you know, once all of my documentaries became available on Amazon Prime, and a lot of them have trended on Prime actually several times. And I feel that, you know, really helped us get out there. And, you know, because, you know, for the longest time we were doing these documentaries in this, you know, small industrial city of Saginaw, Michigan. And although we were having a huge success by drawing 4,000 people a year in a city of only 40,000 to see our films, I mean, that alone is, you know, pretty amazing. But that's, you know, that's what we were doing. It was very niche, very regional. And I remember a lot of people used to say, well, do you think anybody outside of Saginaw or outside of Michigan would be interested in seeing these? And I said, well, you know, I think of course they will. It's not just the city. It's the content. It's what we're doing. And I always believe that people outside of Michigan and even outside of the country would be interested in seeing it, but I just never knew it would take off quite like it did and, you know, and led us to where we are now.
Yeah, for sure. I can only imagine, you know, it's such a long process from where you started to where you are now, but it's amazing the help that you've been able to give people. And I know on an upcoming episode of Haunting in the Heartland that you investigate the Sally's House in Atchison, Kansas. What can you tell us a little bit about that episode?
Well, for starters, I'm not sure I'd ever be very eager to go back to the Sally House. I can tell you that much. It certainly lives up to its reputation. We were there for a different mission, so to speak, that wasn't our focal point. But, you know, because we were right there in Atchison and so close to the Sally House, you know, I really felt that it was something I really needed to do, wanted to do. And we were also trying to figure out if that played a part in the overall reason why Atchison seems so haunted. While at the Sally House, we had a slew of activity happen, and I mean so quickly. That's what amazed me is, you know, it was right away. Within the first, I think, maybe 10 minutes that we were in the Sally House, we immediately had multiple pieces of gear going off. The crew was being affected. Mm-hmm. Things were turning on and off by themselves. It was ridiculous in a sense. And it was also a very dark energy at the Sally House, you know, and I think that's obviously, you know, from what's there. And at the same time, what's a little frightening about the Sally House is virtually anybody out there can rent the house from the current owner. And while we were there, we found a mm-hmm. lot of different things to show that there's a lot of occult practice happening there. So it's, you know, it's very unnerving to think of what type of people are going there and renting it daily, weekly, monthly, and what types of things are happening there. And that's just continuing to feed that monster. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've heard that there's a dark presence there. And, you know, I'm not sure if something has been added, like you said, through other practices that have happened in the house, or, you know, if the ghost has always been like that. I know that the ghost affected the previous owners in, you know, such a dark manner. It's really such an interesting case. Did you know a lot about the case from the time of sightings, or had you heard about it just through the years from shows like A Haunting and stuff?
Well, definitely, you know, I knew about the Sally House from, you know, from all the top paranormal shows out there and like A Haunting, mm-hmm. all the different investigation shows. Definitely was something that was very intriguing to me. And so I felt like I had a pretty good grasp of what the case was about. And then, of course, once I knew we were going to Atchison, I, you know, kind of revamped that interest and started really looking into it. And, of course, as you're walking around Atchison and you're talking to people in the streets or all the historians, they always say, are you going to go to the Sally House? Be careful if you go to the Sally House. So it's like, you know, you just, the whole town is kind of gripped with fear from that place. It's amazing.
Yeah. My dad actually co-authored the book for the original psychic who worked on the Sally's House, Peter James. And I know he went back, I think, one or two times after the original sightings episode film crew left to try and help the family. And, you know, clearly to this day, there's still so much, you know, energy left there. So it's really incredible just how much it's infected people over the years.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, I'm sure it's you know, probably fairly well known at this point. But when we were at the Atchison, at the Sally House in Atchison, the gentleman that owns the house now was telling me that there was a woman that had rented the home for a little while. And he came over to do some maintenance, I believe, on the furnace down in the basement and found a bunch of, you know, melted black candles, pentagrams, and other things mm-hmm. throughout the house. And he just said, hey, that's it. You're out of here. You got to go. And sadly, that's, you know, that he's found things like that multiple times. Even now, as he rents yeah. the house, he comes in and finds stuff and has to ban people. So, you know, it really makes you wonder if what's there kind of draws in those types of individuals of that nature, or if possibly what's there is causing them to engage in these things. Either way, that house is a powder keg for negative energy.
Yeah,
for sure. And with reference to the rest of the season, I know you can't tell us a lot, but can you tell us a little bit about some of the other episodes that we'll see upcoming?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the season premiere, which is February 21st, mm-hmm. 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, we are basically in my backyard in a rural farm community of Merrill, Michigan. And, you know, this is basically my stomping grounds and one of the most amazing cases in paranormal history that's very little known. We did a documentary about it, actually, A Haunting on Dice Road, the Hell House, Dice Road 1 and 2. There was an amazing case that took place in the 70s, 1974 it began, where a family started to experience an incredible amount of activity. And it's a very long story, but let's just say that there was fire, spontaneous combustion, levitation,
oh, wow.
physical attacks, multiple law enforcement agencies involved, a parapsychology team
wow.
from Duke University, stakeouts, and I have literally hundreds of police reports from this case. And what's so interesting about this community is this road, this infamous road, it's Dice Road. There's multiple hauntings in maybe a 4 mile stretch right off this one road. And, you know, I've documented several of them, investigated several of them, but with the Haunting mm-hmm. in the Heartland episode that we did, we really tried to dig deep and say, okay, what is the connection to all of these cases? What's the similarities? Why in one rural area and why on one road alone? And the bigger pattern basically emerged. And we really think that we were able to help bring to light the overall picture of what's causing it and get to the root of that, which I think, you know, that knowledge really helped the locals there in Merrill. And, you know, hopefully the activity will subside. But honestly, with everything that's taken place out there, with that kind of residue, I think activity will continue out there on Dice Road for a long time.
Wow. Well, that's incredible, you know, that you were able to uncover so much about that particular case. With the upcoming season, do you have an episode that is your favorite or the most interesting to you?
Well, you know, there's a couple to me personally that really stands out. There's one that we did out in Greenville, Tennessee, which was a very hair-raising investigation. There was a lot at stake. It was an inhuman case that we were dealing with. Of course, you know, as you said, I don't want to give away too much, but there was mm-hmm. a grisly murder that had taken place that we believe, you know, played a part in some of the residue and some of the activity that still affects the town. That was very hair-raising for the crew. There was a little bit of a personal attack on us while we were there. And in Melbourne,
oh,
Iowa,
wow.
we dealt with a case of demonic attachment and actually had to bring out a demonologist. And, you know, not only was that scary and not only was it a very intense investigation, but we were very concerned for the gentleman that this was attached to and his family. So that weighed, you know, very heavily on us.
I'm sure. And, you know, with dealing with so many residential cases throughout the years, I know you've learned a lot. What advice would you give to families with home haunting issues?
Honestly, right off the bat, communication. Don't hold in things that are happening to you. Don't deny what's happening. Be an open book to each other. Don't isolate. If you haven't experienced it yourself and your spouse or your children are telling you, you know, keep an open mind. Stay, you know, keep the communication open. And don't isolate yourself as a family either. You know, talk to your clergy if you go to church. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Bring in help. But don't isolate, because once that happens, you're susceptible to a lot of darkness. So that's probably,
right.
to me, the most important thing.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, as you very well know, you were talking about having to bring in a demonologist. There are so many places out there to investigate that are very spiritually dangerous to go into. Not every location is like that, but for people who are starting out in the paranormal, what advice would you give to someone?
As far as people that are starting off as investigators?
Yes.
I would say, you know, not to sound cliche or anything, but, you know, coming from me, I would say you have to be strong. You can't be afraid. You can't be full of fear. No matter what, it's natural to be afraid. I mean, that's human instinct. Of course, I get that. But you have to be confident and you have to be strong-minded and strong-willed because, you know, these things, they can attach to you. They can follow you home. They can wreak havoc, especially with inhuman cases. I felt that anytime I've ever dealt with an inhuman case, it's almost like things will happen to you the weeks leading up to the investigation, the week of, trying to deter you, try to affect you and your crew, almost turning, everybody against each other. You just have to have that strength that no matter what, you're confident in where you stand in the world, spiritually, however you need to do that, and just focus on helping the family and also, being accountable. Make sure that the people around you are all looking for any signs that maybe you're being affected. And if you have to, get out of the house, get a break, step aside, do what you need to do, but don't let it overtake you.
Yeah, for sure. And is there anything that you do as a means of protection before, during, or after an investigation?
You know, there really is. There's a lot of things that I do personally. Some of that I don't even really kind of go into. It's kind of a little, personal ritual, if you will, that I do. But basically, when I'm about to go into something that I feel might be dangerous, I take a little bit of time to kind of meditate on things, think about why I'm going in here. How important is this? Where do I stand? How do I feel? And basically just try to build that core inside of you of who you are and what kind of love you have in you before you go into a really bleak, negative place. And of course, obviously sage, and there's a lot of different things as well that are more conventional, but I think for me it's a lot more mental and spiritual than it is things like sage and so on.
Yeah. And, with the show upcoming and going on radio shows like this, I know you're also a recording artist and dealing with aftermath of investigations. How are you able to balance, all of that with family life and just a personal life?
I wish I had the answer to give you. I don't really know how it's a very hard schedule. I mean, with Haunted Saginaw, we're now past a decade doing this. And what's really unique about, my film series is we will film a location for 6 weeks to 4 months while we're doing this. It's extremely extensive. I recall a haunting on Finn Road. We were there for 5 months. And I mean, when I say we were there, I mean, we were filming almost 7 days a week, nonstop, chasing down every lead possible. That's just how, that's what sets, I think, what we do apart from everything else is these very extensive documentaries. And then, of course, I do all the editing and scoring and all the post-production. So basically, one of these projects alone will take me the better part of a year, as well as planning for the premiere. And then, many of those years, I also wrote and recorded and released a national album, as well as going on tours. Mm-hmm. In fact, in 2012, we did the longest tour in hip hop history. Myself, Tech N9ne, Machine Gun Kelly, and a few other artists. So it's really just get through it any way you can, basically. A lot of coffee. Yeah. Espresso is basically my life.
Wow, you are definitely a very busy person. That's amazing. I couldn't even imagine a schedule like that. But it's
definitely working for you. It varies, too. The schedule sometimes is all over the place. But, honestly, a lot of people around me will, I've always heard, I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do it. But honestly, like any time that somehow I find myself with a week or 10 days off, it happens. And when it does, after a few days, it's like, yeah, this feels great. And then I get very restless. So honestly, I can't complain because I enjoy being in the frying pan, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of people like that. I'm sure too, when you're actually doing it, you really get used to the routine. So when you're on that off time, it feels so unnatural. So it's just like your life is the busyness, not the downtime. So you would rather be with your typical life than you would just kind of hanging around.
Right. It's so funny. You actually nailed it. That's an excellent way of saying it. It feels unnatural, which is so strange. You know, I was just having a conversation mm-hmm. with a friend of mine, you know, the other day talking about, I recall, you know, you'd go out on a 70, 80, 90 day tour and you get home and you're laying in your own bed and it just feels foreign. You know, it's just, you get used to the chaos basically. So that's kind of where I tend to thrive is, just always being on the go and just keeping it moving.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really leave my little city too much, but you know, when you do have like a bunch of company over something, you really get used to it. And then afterwards it's just like, oh man, I miss having all that liveliness around. And then you get back into
there's
the routine of not having
here.
That. But it's
yeah,
just like, you know,
there's four walls.
It's,
yeah.
It's amazing how easily, that humans can adapt. And I think that's what really helps in the paranormal too, is just how in tune that humans are with themselves and their surroundings.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. It's just, you know, it's been a long ride doing this. And, you know, honestly, I can't see myself doing anything else. I mean, this is what I've been doing for, well, you know, as far as investigating, I've been doing that since I was about 14 or 15, as far as filming everything, that's been the last mm-hmm. decade. And, this is definitely what I need to do. You know, everyone has their calling and, and this is it for me.
Yeah, I completely understand. I've been an investigator since I was 8. And then, you know, I started experiencing the haunting in my house around the age of 9. So it just really sticks with you. And especially when you live in a haunted house, I mean, that's just such a part of your life. I mean, it's a long time period of your life, too. I mean, you grow up with that activity. So even if you tried to leave the paranormal, that experience will never leave your memory.
100%. Yeah. It's, you know, I did an interview recently where somebody was asking me about these type of topics. And, you know, like I said to her, it's, you can't unsee something like that. So once you're touched by that side or you have that face to face experience, it's always there because now you are completely aware of that realm and you don't, and you're always, you kind of have that built in sense that wherever you're at or wherever you're going, it could be there. Something could be there. And if you haven't been through an experience like that, it's hard to explain it to somebody that, you know, that hasn't gone through it, but obviously, you know exactly what that's like.
Yeah. And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but are there any interviews, events, appearances, or websites that you would like to mention?
Well, you know, I think you definitely covered it pretty well. I mean, you know, hauntedsaginaw.com, or you can look us up on Facebook, Haunted Saginaw.
Mm-hmm.
I do have 10 films available. If you have Amazon Prime, you can stream it for free for anybody out there that hasn't seen my work and would like to see who I am and how I do what I do before the Haunting in the Heartland comes out. But, yeah, I mean, you basically covered it. We're just basically super excited and waiting for February 21st at this point.
Well, I definitely want to thank you so much for coming on today and congratulations on the upcoming premiere. I can't wait to see the show. The show is always open to you if you have anything you need to promote. And yeah, thank you again so much for coming on. I'd love to have you back on in the future.
Yeah, anytime. Just reach out. It's, you know, and again, congratulations on you're coming up on, what is it, 8 years now you've been doing this?
Yeah, it'll be 9 in June. So it's
wow.
been quite
okay,
a while.
So yeah. That's amazing. And you're how old?
I'm 20. I'll be 21 next month.
Wow. So this has already been basically your entire life right here in this genre, this world. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And
thank you, you know,
here.
Yeah. And thank you for what you do too. You know, I mean, obviously your show and all the things you're doing is, you know, it's helping the community. It's helping people out there understand, you know, what it's like to go through this, and you're bringing a lot of things to light. So thanks for your work.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for all you do to help people in need with haunting issues. I know from experience, it's very hard and it's always nice to have someone to support you and try and help as best they can.
Absolutely.
Well,
it's
thank you
honor.
So much and
Steve.
Have a great weekend.
All right, for sure. Thanks guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
bye.
Steve. Well, Sophia, fantastic show today.
Definitely. Steve was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you. And I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, amazing show. And I'll remind everybody, Travel Channel's upcoming series, Haunting in the Heartland. And as we know, we've had Steve Prozac Shippey on the show. Everyone visit therealprozac.com. Also, as he mentioned, and you really got to go see just the trailers, too, to his DVD series amassed over the past 10 years, hauntedsaginaw.com. That's hauntedsaginaw.com for the series details and information. Also, too, Twitter and Instagram, at TheRealProzac. YouTube search Stephen Prozac Shippey. Of course, at Travel Channel, and hashtag along the way, Haunting in the Heartland. I'm sure there's going to be some live cast going on, too, on Twitter during the premiere launch of Haunting in the Heartland on February 21st, 10 p.m. Central. Upcoming, too, as well, we have Squatch Files research team founder and author John Kuykendall returning to the program next Saturday, the 15th. Also, A&E's Ghost Hunters key investigator Brandon Alvis returning to the show. Also, too, congratulations, Brandon, on the arrival of his son 3 weeks ago today. He'll be on the program again on the 22nd. We have more guests securing their dates as we speak, so you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. Fantastic show today, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie and Sion Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.